From Jefferson Public Radio, I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live Session. JPR Live Session's from afar today. It is a little awkward always having conversations and listening to great live music with an artist very far away from the JPR studios, but that is indeed the case today. My guest is Clem Snide, who has just released a new record called Forever Just Beyond. Yves Barzelay joins me. Hello, sir. Welcome.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks.
Thanks for taking time out of what must be another confusing and chaotic day in the life and times of a working musician.
Oh, I don't. It just feels like it's been one long day. You know, at one point last week, somebody in my family said, "Oh, TGIF," and I was startled to realize that it was Friday. I honestly just had no idea what day it even was.
Where are you joining me from today? Where are you?
Well, I'm here in my house, in my basement, in the west side of Nashville, Tennessee. You know, safe and well, sheltering at home.
Do you do a lot of recording of your own in your basement there, or do you usually work at Pro Studios?
Well, I do. I've gotten better at home production, but unfortunately, as much as I would love to say that I could make a legitimate record here at home, I don't think I can. You know what I'm saying? I need some good mics. I need somebody that knows what they're doing. But yeah, I can do. I like to mess around and you know, just sort of experiment.
Yeah,
I like to do sound design stuff because that's actually very easy to do nowadays with all this technology. So I like to mess around with that, but.
And we talked just before we went on the air today that you have got an acoustic guitar for our session today that I believe, if the photos are correct, you play left-handed.
Yeah, I'm a lefty. That's just one of the many curses that have befallen me. But yeah, left-handed. It's actually a Breedlove, which is made in Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. When you're a lefty, that's the big problem is you walk into a guitar store and you look at these beautiful guitars, but you can't really play any of them, you know.
Let's hear some music, but before that, a little bit about your background for folks who aren't entirely familiar with you. So, Yves, songwriter, lead singer, founder of the band Clem Snide. This goes back, almost 20 years now. Yeah. A lot of different permeations of this band over the years, and members coming and going. You've done some releases as Yves Barzelay. You have played in some other projects. You have scored some films. Clem Snide got put on the shelf for a little while and then reformed about 10 years ago. Where do things sit now with Clem Snide? Is it your musical alter ego?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, Clem Snide to me was as much a spirit. The spirit of Clem Snide has been consistently some friends get together and quickly make a record with limited yeah, time and money. And that group has changed over the years. You know, there were some consistent people for a while. Yeah, about 10 years ago, it just sort of came down to me, you know. I mean, it's hard to run it as a business, you know, just when there's not, there's not enough money to pay everyone. And So I was kind of the last man standing and then I sort of make records as Yves Barzelay. It was actually Scott Avitt's idea to call this record a Clem Snide record, because at first we weren't sure what to even call it. And then it was kind of a light bulb went off and I said, oh, of course, it's Clem Snide. It's very much in the spirit of Clem Snide. So. Yeah.
Right on. The record's called Forever Just Beyond. It's the new release from Clem Snide. Singer, guitarist, composer Yves Barzelay joins me today. And what are you going to play first from the record?
Well, I thought I'd play a song called The Stuff of Us.
And does this have a story for it?
The story behind it? Sure. Well, it's, I don't know if there's really a story behind it, but it's very much in the spirit of the record. Just sort of advocating for spirit over body, which is, I don't know how deep we want to go, right before But anyway, to me, the song is about the idea of dark matter. You know, how I'm not a scientist and I barely made it through high school, but I look into these things. And so apparently the scientists say that 95% of the universe, for all the math to work out, 95% of the universe is made up of something called dark matter or dark energy, which nobody can see or measure. But it has to be there. It kind of holds everything together. And I thought, wow, that's kind of like God, isn't it? And so in a way, it's like science. It's the scientific version of the sort of God metaphor. So that's kind of what was playing around in my mind when I wrote it. And yeah, you just got to listen to the words, I guess, more than anything.
All right. Let's hear it. This is Clem Snide playing live for us here at JPR. That one's called The Stuff of Us. Clem Snide is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. It's a song from a new record called Forever Just Beyond that was just released. You mentioned Scott Avett, who worked with you on this record, helped write some of the material, and sings quite a bit, if I understand correctly, across the songs. And you have talked in some recent interviews about the fortuitous meeting of Scott Avett and you at a time when you were starting to kind of question what it was you were doing. Tell me about that.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, it's been a rocky road for me. About 5 years ago, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, it was, you know, things were, I didn't, there wasn't a lot going on for me. I didn't have a lot of options. You know, I didn't have much going on, and I was starting to despair, you know, because I can't, yeah, I just, I don't, this is what I do. I can't really do anything else. And then a fan sent me a link to a video of Scott playing a Clem Snide song, rather obscure one, as an encore at one of their shows. And I, so I realized that he was a big fan. And then around the same time, he did some interview and he was talking about Clem Snide. So I reached out to him and I just started, and he got back to me, you know? And we connected sort of through email and we started talking on the phone. And I just kept sending him songs. Just, you know, without any real specific goal in mind other than just to sort of connect with him. And yeah, and immediately he sent back some ideas. We just started working together before we even knew each other and before we even had any sort of plans to do anything. We vibed each other in a wonderful sort of way. And yeah, one song led to another. And then we realized we had enough for a record and I somehow managed to entice him into producing and he did it all, you know. He actually did what he was gonna say. It was which my experience in the music business, people say a lot of things but don't always follow through.
So
it was it took a while, you know. Definitely had to be a little patient, which was tough for me. I get kind of cagey, and then we went to his farm. He lives on a farm there in North Carolina. He has a kind of an art studio space, and he wired it all up. We brought a great engineer in, Jason Richmond, and Bill Reynolds from Band of Horses came, played bass. Mike, the drummer from Avitz, played drums. Wow. And we just went for it. We did a couple days, and then I took the tracks back to Nashville, back to Bill's studio here, and I redid some stuff and, you know, added some stuff, and then Avitz took the tracks and added his stuff with. So we just sort of ping-ponged it back and forth, and here we are, you know, and it all came together. I mean, it was really, I've been saying in interviews, it's kind of a miraculous record for me because I mean, that's what it feels like, you know, for sure.
Yeah, yeah, the timing couldn't be better and couldn't be worse.
I know. That's kind of what the record's
all
about.
All at the same time, right?
To be blessed is always to be cursed as well. You know, there's, my experience has been that, you know, it's always darkest before the, all those cliches, man, there's a deep truth to it, you know, that you kind of have to go through a certain dying, you know, the dead wood sort of burns off and then new things can emerge, you know, that's kind of how it goes. Like there's no escape from that, you know, so we might as well sort of embrace it, I think.
I want to talk a little bit more about what it's like to try and release a brand new record in the middle of a pandemic and get a sense of what it is that you're doing to occupy the time you do have. But let's hear another tune. Clem Snide is my guest playing live for us today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Forever Just Beyond. Information is at clemsnide.com. All right, what's next?
Well, I thought I'd play an older Clem Snide song that I've been getting into. It's called Fill Me With Your Light.
Cool.
And yeah, it's got some crazy lyrics in it. So yeah, let's do that one. True seduction's what it is. Hearts are neither nor is. I would prefer you don't remove your gloves. The instrument shaped like a pear, the inside line with rabbit hair. If you squint your eyes, it seems to fit. Fill me with your light. I will not make a sound. Lying down. If you wear the mermaid suit, there'll be no slack.
down your chute. Sailors left to flounder in your wake. See the bubble, it goes, pop a false start, an unlikely stop. I'm not convinced of anything I say. No, I'm not convinced of anything I say. Fulfill me with your light. I will not make a sound. See, I always throw the fight, take it lying down. There's a different kind of dark, the kind that stops the dogs to bark and never has to wait for setting suns. Inside the egg finds pantyhose and holds them right up to your nose. See, the energy must somehow be absorbed. See, the energy must somehow be absorbed. See, the energy absorbed. See, the energy must somehow be absorbed. Fill me with your light. I will not make a sound. Take it lying down. Yada-ba-da. Yada-ba-da. Yada-ba-da.
That is Clem Snide playing live for us today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record just out is called Forever Just Beyond. Information is at clemsnide.de. Can we talk about that for a minute? clemsnide.de. What gives?
So one of my managers, the younger one, assured me that it would be cool to do that, that people think that's cool. I don't know. You know, what do I know about these things?
That's like a German website URL, right? Yeah.
DE is Germany. We have no German affiliations. But the reason the reason we had to do it is because somebody in Southeast Asia owns clemsnide.com and has occasionally tries to blackmail me with it.
Okay, so they're not really a fan. They're just trying to get money out of you?
Exactly. They own it.
Well, that's lame.
And I'm like, they send me these complicated links and as in where to send the money, and it always scares me off. I'm like, I don't know.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious. Just before the tune, you mentioned some sort of oddball lyrics in that tune. And that's kind of been a hallmark of your songwriting from the beginning. What drives those songs? Are they observations of human life or stories you read or interesting quotes and lines that you come across?
That's a good question. I guess I'm not sure exactly how to answer. I mean, as far as the words go, when I started writing songs years ago, and I was drawn to the words because I felt very limited musically. I still kind of do. I felt like I could do more. I could say something more interesting or just make it more compelling or whatever with the words. You know, you got your acoustic guitar, you learn those three chords. I mean, there's only so much you can do with that. So yeah, so I got into the words. And I don't know, I don't even think of myself as a writer. I don't know. I try not to conceive of myself as anything but just a vessel for something. You know, I think that's what's enabled me to keep doing it is. I don't ever try to define it too much for myself or say, well, I'm this or I'm that. I know I try not to own it, but just let it somehow emerge inside of me. And so I never have any kind of agenda or I don't even have a process. You know, I mean, writing a song is just kind of pops in your head and then you grab your guitar and you just work it out, you know, or you have a melody and then somehow that melody suggests a kind of some words, or sometimes you have some words and they suggest a melody. I mean, it all, you know, there's no clean answer. People have asked me that and I could talk about it for a long time and not necessarily say anything, but you know, it's a mystery to me, and I like it that way.
So this record comes out March 27th, smack dab in the middle of a pandemic, and I know the project probably took many months from the beginning of starting to sketch those songs to recording with Scott and having the record produced to, you know, graphic design and packaging and marketing and all that stuff. Was there ever a moment where your team just sits there staring at the handbrake thinking, should we pull it or should we just go for it?
Well, I think we were, as far as the time, the sort of specific timing, we had already, everything was already, you know, in motion when the lockdown kind of hit. So, so there was never a moment of, oh, well, you know, let's wait till this is over or something, because we were already doing it. And then, I mean, as far as the logistics or specifics, I mean, yeah, everyone just tried to, thankfully the people involved, I think felt good enough about the record and the record was getting enough heat that everyone is still working it. I mean, honestly, I don't even know what that even means, you know, not even just in terms of the pandemic, but just even the way it's done these days. I mean, my experience with putting out records, you know, with labels and PR and all that, I mean, it's really like 10 years ago was the last time I'd done it. And everything has changed so, you know, the industry changes so fast and all that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know what, I'm not sure if I answered the question.
You know, I mean, you had talked earlier about, you know, that idea of, you know, the sun always starts to come out after the darkest dark. And you have talked about this record feeling somewhat like the sun was starting to shine on you and your music again. And now here we hit a moment where you can't go out and be in front of all of those folks who are listening and interested in the record. Is that, I mean, how do you react to that? And you know, what plans do you make for when you can get out there and do that?
I mean, at first, yeah, the spring tour was canceled and there was definitely a few days there where I got a bit despondent. You know, we had gigs lined up with Avett. I mean, apart from whatever, you know, money I'm not going to be making this spring, which is always tough. Just having a tour canceled was tough. I don't know. With this record, I mean, just the whole way the record was made, like I was saying, I kind of put myself in, like I'd let go. I stopped worrying. And I just, you know, I took that trust fall backwards. There's a line in one of the songs, you know, and I just ignored those howling sounds. And as I kept on falling, I came to realize there was no ground. And you know, like I'm at the point now where where, yeah, I'm just so grateful for any good fortune that befalls me. And I try to just, yeah, I make like metaphysical appeals more than anything. You know, I've stopped trying to manage my situation, or, you know, I got to call that guy. Oh man, that guy's not doing this or that, whatever. I put myself in God's hands, and it works. That's the crazy thing. That's why I'm almost euphoric at times when I see what's happening, and that euphoria is transcending any dread that the virus, you know. So I almost feel a little ashamed because I'm in a kind of a wonderful place right now. Not only did this record get made and came out, but right before everything went down and the spring tour was canceled, I got one of those crazy obscure licensing deals that I get every 10 years that pays me a tremendous amount of money. Like, it was, I mean, talk about miracles. Like, oh my God. I mean, the tone of my voice would be so very different right now. Because I would be, it would be bad. It would be very bad. We'd have no money. Yeah. You know, we were really kind of at the edge of a, I mean, we live on the, I have a wife and two kids and we live on the edge. You know, I've kept the family living on the edge for many years, and there's been times where, yeah, good fortune came and we had some money, but so this was a time when we were right up to the edge again, and then anyway, so I got that. So when that came along with the record coming out, I really felt so blessed and so grateful that honestly, I'm just waiting for all this Corona to just go away already. Well, I'm done with it.
So is that sync something that's already out? Like, you know, are we going to hear you on a State Farm commercial or something like that? Or is it still in production?
Well, I can't. Like, the check cleared. You know what I'm saying? That's all. I don't know if they're even going to still run the ad or what. They haven't yet, and they might not ever. So I don't even know. And anyway, it was just some insanely obscure instrumental stuff that I put out about 10 years ago that if you heard, you very well wouldn't even recognize.
How'd they find it?
See, again, God works in mysterious ways. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea why this big company would just find this obscure little piece of music. And then the amount of money that they pay for it, which is also, I mean, that's the thing. We live in a world, I didn't make this world. I got to just live in it like the rest of us. But somehow, if you get a little piece of music in a commercial, it pays. Yeah. I mean, I've done tours, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
8 weeks in Europe, and I came home with like barely $1,000 in my pocket.
Yeah, right on. Well, good for you.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So thank you. I mean, listen, this is the thing with musicians. When I talk to other musicians over the years and they tell me about something like that, it's hard to not resent them so deeply. So when it happens to me, I just try to keep it to myself. But anyway, that's part of why I feel, I feel so deeply grateful. That's all I'm saying.
Right on. Well, why don't we hear one more of yours? Clem Snide is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. The new record is called Forever Just Beyond. Information at that quirky website URL, clemsnide.de. What do you want to wrap up with?
Yeah, so I thought I'd finish it off with the first song on the record.
Oh, yeah, Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert, yeah.
Cool.
So, yes, yeah, about Roger Ebert's actual dying words when he began to see through the veil. You know what I'm saying? He saw through the veil of tears. So, yeah, Roger Ebert.
All elaborate hopes. looked ever young, accepting his moment that soon would be done. He growled in a nod that he passed to his wife, as he felt himself shedding the skin of this life. It said, there is a vastness that can't be contained or described as a thought in the flesh of our brain. It's everything, everywhere, future and past, dissolving together in an eternal flash. So much his hand seemed to pass through whatever it touched, and the credits that rolled listed all of God's names as images floated away from their frames. From their frames, did you know these were Roger E. dying words? Did you know these were Roger Ebert's dying words? It's all an elaborate hoax.
Such a beautiful song. It's called Roger Ebert. It leads off the brand new record Forever Just Beyond of Clem Snide. Eve Barzelay, join me in the studio from a distance today. Thanks for doing this. It's great to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure, Eric. Thanks so much, man.